You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com. Post-game. Folsom Field, where Colorado defeated Washington 20-14 in front of an announced crowd of 44,618. Elapsed time of the game, 3 hours and 4 minutes. Temperature at kickoff, 39 degrees, pretty much maintained that temperature. High 30s, low 40s for the entire game. Special edition of Dogman Radio. I'm here with those of you who've known me a long time. My son Kyle Grinnell turns 29 on Sunday, so he's at the game with me and was on the sidelines. So we kind of finagled him into doing the post-game radio with us, where I think the things we knew were going to go south, Kyle, when they didn't have Ralphie out there. He was supposed to be out there, be retired. Instead, they put some reins on the mascot and made him run. It was kind of weird looking, but boy, it's the start of a bad night right then and there.
I knew when Ralphie wasn't coming out that it wasn't going to be good, you know, but Ralphie's getting old, and I didn't want to get hit by a buffalo out there, so yeah.
starting this... The team looks lost. I mean, the offense looks broken. You know, we thought that they would be able to come out of this little bit of a funk, especially against a defense like Oregon State, and then with another bye week, and then going against Colorado, where their defense isn't great. They've got a lot of holes out there, but Washington seemed to get pushed around on both sides of the ball.
You know, the score says 14-20, and we had a chance there at the end, but, you know, there was two plays in this game, that pass interference call that I didn't think was really pass interference that really bailed us out, and that drop pass by Laviska Shenault. If Laviska Shenault didn't drop that pass, this game would have been broken wide open.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't a pass interference. I was shocked it was called. And the one on Laviska Shenault where he dropped the pass, he was wide open. Keith Taylor slipped and fell, and he was wide open. And they did hold Laviska Shenault in check, you know, considering who it was. But he had 7 receptions for 105 yards. That's Laviska Shenault, but they were able to hold him on a fourth down. And that's only the first time this year he's been – unsuccessful run in the Wildcat.
Yeah, if you don't know who Laviska Shenault is, he's going to be a first-round pick. The guy is explosive. I was leaving the game, and I overheard a Colorado fan go, you know, we need to get this guy the ball more. And it's like the way he's explosive and he gets the ball and yards after catch, he lines up in the backfield. The thing that I thought was interesting from where we were standing is they had Trent McDuffie on him all night, and you're sitting here going, why are we having a true freshman on him? But it's kind of like that Seahawks defense where they don't move around, where Keith Taylor's playing the right side all night. And, you know, 7 for 100 may seem like a lot, but he could have had a lot more.
Trent McDuffie should have had a pick six at the goal line. You know, that pass was to Laviska Shenault, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And right at the goal line, it looked like it hit him in the hands. And then Laviska Shenault burned him again on the touchdown pass, where he appeared to be in perfect condition, perfect position, and just seemed to take the ball away from him for a touchdown to take a 13-0 lead.
Yeah. You said offense lost. And, you know, I'm looking through the stat sheet, and the thing that jumped out on me is Richard Newton, 12 carries for 35 yards, and Savon 13 carries for 37 yards. You know, they couldn't get the run established, which couldn't get the pass established. They didn't have any big plays on the night. There was one big play to Hunter Bryant that was 29 yards. But other than that, our longest plays from our receivers, 12 yards, 18 yards, 15 yards, they just weren't getting the ball downfield.
Colorado outgained Washington on the ground 207-32. 207-32. And when your passing game's struggling and you're only able to get 32 yards of offense, wow.
I mean, there was a couple times tonight where I had to rub my eyes and go, is that Lamar Jackson out there? Or is that Steven Montez? I'm like, first of all, this guy's been here forever, but he looked good tonight. And I don't know if we made him look good or if he is really that good.
I don't think he's that good.
I don't think he's that good either.
But, you know, they had him in the grasp several times. They were only able to get to him once. They only had one sack, but they were only able to get to him once, where Colorado was able to get to Jacob Eason five times. But, Jackson Kirkland went out early in the game. It looked like a pretty severe knee injury. I'm guessing he's probably going to be done for the year. Henry Bainavalu went in for him, and he got trucked a couple of times. But, you know, this is a big offensive line that's got a lot of experience, and they were getting pushed around, Kyle.
Everything seemed vanilla to me. You know, when Kamari Pleasant came in, you knew they were passing it. They were running the ball on second and nine and getting a yard. It just, like, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And other than that double pass that, you know, got deflected, that was probably the one exciting part of the night, and it was an incomplete pass.
Well, it just seems like Washington's playing in a phone booth. Everything is played within the hash marks, the short passes, the short passing game, the running game. It looks like a predictable offense. And when they are going deep, they seem to be going deep when they're playing in two deep safeties and not being able to get much there. When you take a look at Hunter Bryant, who a lot of people think is going to be a high draft choice, you know, since the injury, he hasn't been anywhere near as explosive as he has in the past. On the fourth down pass, it was incomplete to Hunter Bryant. Jordan Chin was running down the middle of the field unchecked as well.
Yeah, I mean, this was my first game this year on the sidelines, and if there was, you know, one thing that I took away, Eason is staring down his receivers, and you kind of know where the ball is going. Like, just that play where Hunter Bryant had two, three guys.
You know, pre-snap.
Yeah, on him. And Jordan Chin was wide open, and all he needed to do was wait 1 second, and that would have been a touchdown. That would have been a go-ahead touchdown.
You have an uber-talented quarterback who doesn't look confident in any of his wide receivers. It doesn't look like Aaron Fuller is back to 100%, but Aaron Fuller's just a guy. He's not a standout wide receiver. Hunter Bryant has lost some explosiveness. Terrell Bynum has shown moments, but when Easton's looking downfield, it just doesn't look like anybody's open. And then on top of that, he's under siege back there at quarterback. I mean, just this is an offensive line that's not protecting anywhere near like they should be.
You know, we were in the end zone, both of the end zones for most of the game. And when Eason does that turn that Russell Wilson, all are so used to watching Russ. And as soon as Russ does that, something magical is going to happen. As soon as Jake does that, he's getting a 12-yard sack and it's over.
He doesn't handle being under pressure very well. I mean, he had one on a fourth down where he threw it well. He was getting hit, but, he doesn't step up in the pocket very well, you know, and I give him credit. He came and faced the media after the game. He didn't have to, but ever since the BYU game, he hasn't been the same quarterback, and, you know, you could kind of tell, you know, just take a listen to the Dogman Radio and listen to, I always say, you know, you can listen to, read quotes, but that doesn't tell the whole story. You know, when you listen to the audio and hear the tone that's being used, it speaks volumes at time. Listen to Coach Pete post-game. Listen to the audio. He was obviously frustrated with the passing game. And, I've been confident all season, Kyle, that I thought that they could turn this thing around. The offense is broken. This just doesn't work.
Yeah, something needs to change. And we're on a short week with the Apple Cup, so I don't think you're going to see anything major. But just, you know, bubble screens out to Will Fuller. Their identity towards the beginning of the year, that's what they do. They throw... Aaron Fuller. Did I say Will Fuller? Yeah. Sorry. He had a big game this week. Just those bubble screens and just things when the offense isn't moving, just some creativity to get, you know, Savon out in space and just anything.
Savon Ahmed had 13 carries for how many yards?
37 yards.
Yeah, 13 carries for 37 yards. Richard Newton, 12 carries for 32 yards. Jacob Eason, 21 of 34 for 206 yards. One interception, but he had five sacks. And five sacks doesn't tell the story because, like I said, he was under siege quite a bit at the time. And just looking down the stat sheet, you know, first downs, Colorado, 23-17. The rushing yards just killed them. 207 yards to 32 for Washington. Passing yards, 223 to 206. You're just not going to win many games with that. Joel Whitford had seven punts in the key third down conversion. Washington again, 6 of 17. Colorado, 5 of 13. But it seemed like the third downs that they did convert were huge. Five sacks by Colorado too. Eddie Ulofosio was a leading tackler with 11, Jackson Sermon with 6, and Stephen Montez, 17 of 28 for 223, Alex Fontenot, 24 carries for 105 yards. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But when you take a look at what Eason's doing back in the pocket, he doesn't look comfortable, and he doesn't look like he trusts his receivers, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we could sit here and talk about the offense all day, and I think that there is something to be said about the defense, because I will say this, as bad as the offense looked there, towards the end of the game, they were driving and they were scoring the football. And, you know, we pin them down at the one-yard line, and then we get an offsides penalty, and then Montez rushes the ball up the middle for 15 yards.
12 yards on a quarterback
sneak. Yeah, on a quarterback sneak.
12 yards on a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of missed tackles.
I mean, I felt like the D-line played great tonight, but they kept getting to Montez, but no one could wrap him up, and he would leak out of the pocket and dump the ball off for 5 yards, and it didn't seem like anybody was containing him at all.
Well, there again, in the first half, and especially in the first quarter, every time Washington got the ball, it was deep in their territory. And then, you know, when they finally did get a drive going, Jacob Eason throws a pick.
Yeah.
They throw into Hunter Bryant, who was covered.
Yeah, that doesn't really help your defense.
No, I mean, they were coming from behind the whole first quarter, and they just couldn't seem to get that spark. And, you know, that's the problem. When you take a look at this offense, Kyle, you know, the playmakers, they're just not there. Savon Ahmed can be that guy, but they've got him running between the tackles, and I don't think that's game, or I don't think they're getting him in space and utilizing him enough. He's getting beat up running between the tackles, and that's not his game. But who else are the playmakers? Where was Chico McClatcher today?
I mean, there was that one play where he went deep where Eason overthrew him for about 5 yards. We were right there on the 20-yard line, and he had his defender beat by like 3 or 4 steps, and Eason just aired the ball 5 yards too far, and that would have been a touchdown right there. Props to Colorado. They held Washington in check. Washington has 1 to 2 huge plays every game, and they did not allow it at all tonight.
Well, and I really encourage everybody to listen to the audio, just not only, you know, for tonight's game, but go back and listen to Coach Pete on Thursday, go back and listen to him on Wednesday, and there's definitely some frustration. And I've been talking about this for a while, the entire offseason. You know, we were hearing the words, fix the offense. We were hearing it from the administrators. We were hearing it from boosters. We were hearing it from parents. We were hearing it from players. And, you know, we heard that they were incorporating some aspects of the air raid, which is just extending the running game. And it looks like they did incorporate some of that, but it's not working. I mean, it's really not working. They're just, and Kyle, you saw this, even the completions that Eason had, how many times did he complete passes where guys were really wide open?
Yeah.
Where they had separation, yeah, and they were open.
Yeah, I mean, earlier this year, the theme was drop passes, you know, and he was, yeah, it just, I don't even know what to say about him, to be honest. It's crazy because there were pretty much every scout for an NFL team who needed a quarterback was there tonight. You had the Carolina Panthers scout, you had the Chargers scout watching Eason warm up, and it's just like you look at this guy and you see all the ability, but it just is, it's never put together in a game.
And like I said, you know, it just looks like they're throwing, you know, they're running this offense but in a phone booth at times. You know, and the only time they're going wide is they're going the quick outs. And, you know, the playmaker that they do have in Savon Ahmed, they're not able to get him in space. They're not able to get guys deep. And, you know, when you're depending on your deep guys to be Andre Pacelli and Jordan Chin, there's probably a problem there. Marcus Spiker didn't do anything tonight. Ty Jones was in the game. He didn't do anything tonight. Austin Osborne, we didn't see him. I don't know if Chico McClatcher even played tonight.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what happens next week if Peterson just pulls out a bunch of stuff. You know, Wazoo beat Oregon State tonight 54-53, and they're going to come into Husky Stadium and just throw the ball over the place. And we'll see if the defense can stop it. But if not, it's going to be an offensive battle. And from what I saw tonight, I don't know how that's going to work out.
I'm worried that, you know, is Washington going to be able to score enough points to beat Washington State? The defensive game plan, you know, that they've used since Pete's been here has been really effective with Jimmy Lake. But, you know, this was a totally different looking defense that we saw tonight than we saw versus Oregon State, where they, you know, held them, what, to 119 yards. But, you know, if they play that way against Oregon State, they have a chance. But if they play like they did tonight, they're going to get killed.
Yeah. I mean, early in the year when Richard Newton was running his best, you know, when they establish that run and get those guys going, you know, and get Savon where he can wiggle in space, you know, it's just really, I'm going to be really curious to see what kind of offense they bring on Friday.
Jackson Kirkland, you know, they lose Jackson, they put in Henry Bainavalu, you know, and he had a couple of penalties on him, but, you know, he's a talented guy. But, you know, everybody's talking about Bush Hamden and, you know, his head on a chopping block. But, you know, when you bring back as many experienced starters as this team has on the offensive line, this offensive line has underperformed all year.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I took away leaving is, you know, I think every single Husky fan put Jacob Eason on a huge pedestal and had huge expectations for him. And it'd be really interesting to see what this team would be if Jacob Sermon was the quarterback this year and the record was the same thing. Because I feel like because Eason transferred and he had all this hoopla, five-star NFL, the expectations were through the roof, but it kind of clouded these other areas of concern.
The guy I think is getting off a little bit scot-free, God, no pun intended, Scott Huff, the offensive line coach. But, you know, they didn't get it done tonight. In many games, they haven't got it done. It's going to be an interesting game against Washington State coming up short week. I mean, the team didn't get out of here till what, midnight, probably 1 o'clock in the morning, which means they're not going to get back to Seattle till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't think they're going to get that off day with the, you know, they'll probably get an off day on Sunday, but that's kind of rough.
Yeah. 5 sacks tonight for Colorado. 5 sacks. Eason was on the ground a lot.
He was under pressure a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and cut this short. It's good to have Kyle here, and those who've known me a long time, probably, you know, we've been doing this 20 years. Kyle turns 29. He's all grown up. So those who've known me for a long time since Kyle was just a little guy, it's great to be back here. We had a chance to go to the Denver Nuggets game yesterday, save our Sonics. It was really sad imagining Denver having a team and then going in there and seeing the Sonics not having a team, you know, in Seattle. But, you know, we had a good time back here in Colorado. So just final thoughts, maybe give people a little bit of an idea what it's like to be on the sidelines.
It's pretty wild, and there were a lot of Husky fans here tonight, and I've been on the sidelines for College Game Day games, and this game, it was a little less tense. I feel like the bigger the game, the more tense it is, but just being able to see guys come in and out, watching guys get hurt on the sidelines, seeing what, it's just a crazy experience, and especially in the end zone, being able to watch Eason change the plays and just stuff like that. It's a pretty cool experience. But like I said before, I was kind of nervous about Ralphie, so I'm glad that he didn't run out there, but yeah.
It's been a tough year for football, and just, you know, we appreciate all you guys hanging with us. We understand the frustration, but, you know, we're just going to ask you guys, take a step back. If you're angry, you know, I always have this thing. I don't make phone calls when I'm angry. I don't send emails when I'm angry. I cool off a little bit. And when you guys are angry, you might need to step away from the message boards for a little bit, because it just makes our jobs that much more difficult. And all of a sudden, we're spending time dealing with individuals and dealing with message board stuff instead of generating great content, making the phone calls, finding out what's happening, follow up on recruiting. We'd much rather spend our time dealing with that than dealing with problem posters out of the message boards who can't control their emotions and tempers. We get the frustration, but just help us out a bit. It's going to be an interesting week with Washington State. What team are we going to see? Are we going to see the defense that we saw against Oregon State? Are we going to see the defense we saw tonight? It's going to be an interesting week. But Apple Cup, it's going to be sold out, and you know, Husky Stadium will be rocking, which always makes it fun. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds along with Kyle Grenolds. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.